This recording is for the regular school board meeting of the Emory County School Board held on Wednesday, June 13th, 2007 at the district office in Huntington, Utah.
We'd like to welcome you to board meeting. We're glad to see all of you here. We are we have the full board present. We have Superintendent Sitchard and Jared Black, the business administrator. We're meeting in the district office. And we will begin by having the tobacco use prevention report by Terry Alton. Looks like he's ready to go. He's got things going.
You guys, you may have to turn your chairs around if you want to see what's going on.
That's why you swivel.
I asked you.
For the last year and a half, we have had a tobacco ban in the Emory School District. And I just wanted to take a few of your minutes today and tell you the things that we've done with the tobacco ban. First, with the policy, we're talking from the fiscal year from last July through the end of this June. And so last July, and so here it is, one of the policies was adopted. We updated the tobacco policy. We also made tobacco policy aware to many of the staff in the school district. We did this at the beginning of the year training. We've also done it at different teacher training, so the grade level meeting. We've made the tobacco policy aware to the students, parents, and community. We put the policy in the registration booklet that they get at that secondary schools, the high schools, and for the junior high, we were present while they were getting their packets of paper for registration. We put the tobacco policy packet in there too, so that the parents were able to get it. And the community, we then said some pretty new so that we're able to let the communities know about the tobacco policy and hope that, they will start in their communities to look towards tobacco prevention. In the elementary school, we joined in with the Care Helper program, and they go to the grades 3 through 6 monthly with a prevention lesson. And so what I've done is for a couple of those months is put it steering on tobacco, different lessons for the different grades. This year we also had a truth for youth contest. This is something that we still have for the 4th and 5th graders, but we decided to do it for the whole district and every grade level. And this is the anti-tobacco advertising. So they were able to do it through billboards, radio ads, as well as TV ads that they made up. And we had one of those for every school, and that was a lot of fun. We had quite a bit of participation with that. In the junior high, we went in and were able to teach tobacco prevention to the jump in the through 9th grade care helpers. And these care helpers, anybody could sign up to be a care helper, as well as long as they're understanding the citizenship and grades, so that they can sometimes we'll get the high school care helpers out of school to go into the elementary school to teach. And so we were able to go in to 7th through 9th. We also wanted to go in the state story person to get cessation programs in the schools, not just the community. And so what we did this year is we went in and asked the junior highs if we can teach tobacco prevention with a little cessation in there to the kids who have to take new classes. We thought this would be a good audience for tobacco prevention. At the end of the year, we went into Tenneville and we were able to teach every student that was present that day by grade level. And we taught them prevention lessons. We taught a lot about tobacco prevention, but we also taught a lot of different kind of prevention as well, and substance use. And then with the 9th graders, they were invited to attend all of the high school activities that we've had this year. And so with the high school, the trainings that the 9th graders were able to go to We have students during the summer months because the high school students are the ones that go into the elementary schools. And we really have gotten feedback from the teachers on what we can do better and how we can prepare these students better. And we've developed plenty of training that the care helpers will go through in the summer months so that we can get them prepared to teach the elementary students and teach them what's appropriate and what's not, as well as teach them the lessons themselves so that they're better able to teach the elementary students. And the activities and lessons during the school year, we've done a few of those this year during Christmas and quite a few of the holidays. We invited the care helpers and we invited them to bring friends, anybody in the high school. And as graders, we're welcome to come to these activities. And we taught tobacco prevention as well as some feedback and further trainings on what's appropriate in the elementary school and their teaching skills. And they had a lot of fun. We had fun activities with that. And in the community, the tobacco grant, we teamed up with a prevention team that the school district already has. And they have teacher representatives from every school, as well as many people in the community, the sheriff's office and Four Corners and the health department. And so we had an advisory committee, so they could help us on what we can do better and how we can work more effectively with the tobacco grant that we have. During the summer, we had tobacco booths that the Hershey's carried every time of fair and holidays and teamed up with the sheriff's office. So they had, if you remember, they have quite a few of their drug paraphernalia and whatnot displayed, and then just on the other side of them was the tobacco prevention. We had pamphlets and things that the kids could take home and that they can look at. We attended, like I mentioned, the city council and the new city council. We are encouraging the new city council to really go in and to help their community. Ideas that they have is trying to get such tobacco free and things such as that. And that's what they're working on. But we were able to assist them with the information that we have and materials. We also teach tobacco cessation classes to you. And generally, we have court referred, as well as the people who get caught with tobacco from the school, they're referred to the tobacco cessation classes. And since we've had this tobacco grant, they've more than doubled the size of the classes because we're having more referrals. I think if the community knows more, that we're there to help them.
It's not because there's more smoking, huh?
I think not.
Since we've had the grant, we've doubled the number of kids smoking. Okay.
as long as we can feel that there's a need for it and the health department works with
we were basically, when it first started, we were identified because of the surveys that were done on high tobacco use in Emory County. And that's the reason for it. As long as we have that distinction or that need, we'll continue to. And Terry's done a tremendous job with this. We're excited to have her come and teach for us, but we're going to miss her and her expertise. She has been working part-time for the health department, part-time for us. So, Jed, anything you want to add? Jed's our safe and drug-free schools coordinator.
He's done a real good job. The school will be excited to see her. We won't be excited to see her this year, but we're excited to see her go to that school.
What was the amount of the grant?
The amount of the grant is just based upon the salary of the individual. And so, as I'm reading, the person coming in will find a different salary. And it also has quite a basis for curriculum and activities that we have. The amount of the grant altogether this year, I believe, was $42,000. So it's a significant amount that the state's offering them. But we are, our goal is to have the advertisement for this job opening in the newspaper next week. We would love to hire by the beginning of July, and I can kind of dial the person as long as I'm there. So it'll carry on, and I'm sure we'll do a super job.
Thank you. It sounds like it's needed and should be very effective. We appreciate the work that you've done there. Okay, well, let me turn back around and we'll go to the next item. And this is one I'm really excited about. We have some special guests with us that are deserving of some special awards, and we'll let Superintendent take care of that.
We have a couple of amazing people here with us tonight that we would like to honor as Employees of the Year for our school district. And the first one of those is Tawny Wortham. And Tawny has been teaching for 31 years. She must have started when she was 4 years old, but has been teaching for 31 years, three of those in Idaho, and 28 years at Castlebell Elementary School. And another amazing thing is that 20 of those 28 have been in the sixth grade, so the last 20 years have been in the sixth grade. But one thing I learned about Tawny just from a thing she gave me yesterday is that Tawny spent some time in the Peace Corps in Colombia. How long were you there?
Yeah.
Amazing. I didn't know that. Working with people in Columbia. She has been the school coordinator for the National Geographic Spelling Bee and faculty rep to the PTA and UEA and student council advisor. But more recently has started something that I thought would have been impossible, and that's getting sixth graders to dance ballroom style. And started that at Castle Elementary and has expanded now to many of our other elementary schools. And Tawny's been helping teachers there to become involved in ballroom dancing, and it's been exciting. They've been dancing at the county fair and at the Lamb Tribe, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
The care center and church programs and. One other thing you may not know about Tawny, well, you do if you've been to some of the community theater plays, is that she's an actress and has been in three or four musicals and singing. And we just really appreciate Tawny and the work she's done for the school district. And as we asked for nominations for Teacher of the Year, her name came up many, many times. And we would like to present you, Tawny, with on behalf of the school board, and maybe have Laurel, the board president, give you this. We have the plaque for you if you'd like to come up. Unfortunately, there's not a cash award, or there is a thick application for State Teacher of the Year if she chooses to do that. But
I'm working on it.
We want to congratulate Tawny as our Teacher of the Year for this past school year. So.
I just want to add something. This is very personal to me because I've had five children in Tawny's classes, and seeing what she's done for them. And because of her, all of my children have a great love for reading. And I give her full credit for that. She inspired them to do that. And I just appreciate her vitality as she keeps on teaching and has just never runs out of energy and enthusiasm. And thank you.
You need to stay candle on this side before you go on top.
Thank you, Tommy.
Thank you. Come back this way.
I admire your enthusiasm after all those years.
Mr. Werner.
Wow.
Please, so thank you. I know that. She has her mother here, and introduce the rest of the crew here, will you?
My sister and my son.
Okay, we're glad to have you here. Also like to appreciate the fact that we have Leroy Maxfield here, who is our supervisor of, the title is Buildings and Grounds, I guess. It's a heck of a lot more than that. That's on the recording. I guess I could only say this. I can remember something from a TV program that I used to love to watch, and it said, started out like this. Able to leap tall buildings in a single bound. Faster than a speeding bullet, more powerful than a locomotive. I guess that's how I would describe Leroy. Leroy was hired on our maintenance crew 15 years ago. His specialty, of course, has been building construction. And although he's specialized in almost every imaginable area you can think in maintenance, and has certificates in most of those areas, but has done a lot of building for us, a lot of construction, and then is it 2 years now that Leroy has been the supervisor of our buildings and grounds, and we just appreciate tremendously the work that he's done there, spearheading a lot of major projects. We do projects in this school district that normally we would cast a contract, and it's because of Leroy and his crew. I'll add them in there, but particularly with Leroy, with his skill and the knowledge that he has, he's been able to do that, and including just recently now a major construction of a gym in Naujo Gymnasium in Green River that Leroy has done most of our inspections and working with that, and made put a lot of miles on the Green River. But Leroy, we appreciate you. We appreciate the work that you've done. We send out an email to all of our principals and schools and ask for nominations for Classified Employee of the Year. And we received back a number of nominations, and all but one of them were for Leroy. We just appreciate you, Leroy. If you'll come up here, we'd like to present you also with a plaque and a check for $10,000.
Sorry.
I forgot the check.
I think this is a Superman award, then. We'll just call that.
And just lots more than
$10,000.
Thank you, Leroy.
Thank
you. We appreciate your wife and her sacrifice of all of the nighttime runs that he's had to make for the school district, and the overtime hours. Well, no, we don't have overtime. All of the time that he put in, and we congratulate you and honor you tonight.
Well,
so.
Thank you. I kind of work for the school board, and I work for the district office staff. I work for the principal
and their staff,
and I work for the students. But probably the ones that really deserve this. These are the guys that work for me.
You deserve it.
Yeah.
You do.
So do they.
They do. We have an amazing maintenance crew.
We do.
No question about it. And I appreciate those sentiments because.
Appreciate that. That's great to do and acknowledge.
And we will let you know that you don't have to sit through the whole boring school board meeting if you
you're
want.
Welcome.
You're welcome to leave at any time, and you're welcome to stay.
It's not very exciting, but you're welcome to stay.
No, you can't leave, really.
We don't
want to
miss this budget.
You don't
want to
miss
this
budget,
right? That's exciting stuff.
I'm boring to tell you. Your
last month of my work has been the most exciting month of my life.
It has?
It really has.
Thank you, Leroy. I'm not going
back.
Oh, you're going to say that.
He likes excitement.
Is the gym done yet? Not quite. Not quite, huh?
Okay, we need a motion to adjourn the regular meeting to a public hearing to receive comment on the tentative budget for fiscal year 2008.
I will so move.
Okay, it's been moved in second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Did we stop? Okay, go on, Jared.
All right, I have a short presentation for the budget, and then if anyone else has any other questions.
Tim, thanks for staying.
By the way, Tim, you're right away.
Okay, to spare the details, I guess, I've summarized what our budget looks like at this point. Recognizing that we're still working with a lot of preliminary numbers and assumptions, but the purpose for this tentative budget is to have something in place that will be close to what we end up with in August. And so that's what I have for you today. The assumptions for this budget are an assessed valuation of $1,526,000,000 for the county. All of our legislative estimates as of May 31st of this year. And there are several new legislative programs in our budget this next year. Those are all included in this. And there's also an estimated fall enrollment of 2,286. Now, we know that that's not going to be the case. We'll be lower than that. But all of the state funding is based on that number that we've received so far. So we base our assumptions off of that. The total budget for 07-08, so the tentative budget, is $22,846,470. I'll show you in a minute. This includes a new fund that hasn't been part of our budget up to this point. And it's called the Student Activity Fund. And the purpose of this fund is to bring all the money that we spend and receive in our schools onto the district's budget and books at the end of the year, so that it counts toward expenditures for students in education. So, and that's $920,000. So,
That's not something we're doing because we want to do it. It's something we have to.
Okay, now this is what gate receipts and.
Received or received at the school, student fees, you know, there's a variety of things. The schools will still account for this, all of this money throughout the year, and at the end of the year, we just total it all up and transfer it onto our books. So it's not actually new money that we're spending or receiving from a district perspective, but it will be on our books. And that's close to $1 million, so just recognize that that's in this number. Of our revenue sources, local is, as you can see, just about $10 million. Our state funding, just about $11 million. Federal funding at $1.5 million. I'll also note with our federal funding, this doesn't include, I don't know a percentage, but quite a bit of our federal funding that we're likely to get, just because those funds haven't been awarded yet. As an example, a lot of the federal funding we got for this year was officially awarded in April. So, you know, we kind of spend it through the year and actually get the money at the end of the year. So, but when we get those awards is when we actually put the money onto our books. So, that doesn't include some of it. And then we're anticipating fund balance of just under $500,000. And this is fund balance scattered across the budget from all of the funds.
Is that federal, is that because you have to account for like free and partial refunded lunches and things like that until you have an actual account?
Yes, and those actually are in the budget, but what we get are a lot of federal grants. We just don't know how much they're for. We don't know if we'll get them for sure or not.
Your title programs also, I mean, we don't even get the final figures on those until January or February. And it changes constantly. We have estimates, but then they change. And that's the federal government for you.
Yeah, and this is one of the big reasons why we open and adjust our budget at the end of the year also, because we have to account for all of these things coming in. questions on this slide? We've broken down the expenditures based on how they'll be expended, and this isn't detail, but to give you an idea, our salaries and benefits obviously are a big portion of what we spend, almost exactly two-thirds actually of what we spend. Professional services includes all the professional development that we do, that we, you know, send teachers to, that we go to, any professional services that we hire from out of the district or in there. Property services is very small. Other services would include largely travel expenses, and then supplies and property, and then the other line includes most of our dues and fees, and then just things that don't fall into another category.
So what is property services?
Property services, for example, we lease a backhoe, and that would go under there. It's miscellaneous things like that. It's not our capital outlay expenditures or our building expenditures, things like that.
And what is property?
Property?
Like
property is... No, they don't fall under that. They fall under supplies, actually. But property would be our building expenditure, our capital outlay, furniture and fixtures, things like that. Any other questions on this slide? Okay, this breaks down what each of our funds balance at for the tentative budget. General fund, $18.5 million. The student activities is the new fund I told you about. And the, I might note that the budget we've put there of $920,000 is an estimate. We have nothing to go on, no past precedent. So we did take data from the school this year and base that figure off of that data. So it should be close, but we really don't know for sure what it will come in at. Non-K through 12, we do our adult ed and preschool programs there, and also our recreation tax goes into that fund, which pays for a lot of our custodians. Debt service is what we pay for our bonds, and that amount is exactly what we need to pay for our bond expenditure the next year. And then capital outlay, Fund 32, and Food Service Fund 49. Are there any questions on those funds, what we use them for?
Is transportation included in the general fund?
It is. Okay, and as a summary, what I've included in the budget you received does include our second lane changes. It also includes our cost of insurance increases, which are 10.25% for this year. Estimated utility cost increases, as I mentioned at the start, all of our new legislative funding and programs. It includes a preliminary cost of living adjustment. We're still in negotiations, and so we haven't finalized that, but we put in a preliminary adjustment. It won't be exactly what we end up with, but it will be close. It won't make a big difference. And then also includes the new fund, student activity stuff. Any questions on this?
No, I just have one. What did we end up with under the new legislative funding? What did we end up with the funding on the $2,500?
It's still, and basically where we're at now is the legislature does not want to call a special session to address it. Now, if the governor ends up doing that, they can address that, because the voucher thing now, as you're aware, the Supreme Court has ruled that those two bills are attached to each other. Mm-hmm. And whatever the voters decide, both those bills will go that direction. So they didn't want to call a special session to bring, because they were afraid of the voucher issue coming up. But I'm not hearing a special session now. Basically, where we ended up, and Jared helped me, we're right around $2,000. If you take out the FICA in retirement, and the bonus is, instead of $1,000, is right around $900, as close to that.
Okay.
The legislature has said that they want to fully fund that at the level they intended, and that they could do a supplemental at the beginning of the next legislative session, which would go on this year's budget, and if they do that, then we would simply just add that in. But right now, we can't necessarily spend money we don't have or that's not appropriated.
Right.
So I think we'll probably have to deal with what we have now, and then you have two choices. You can either put the $2,500 out there and the $1,000 bonus, and then in January, if they don't do a supplemental, you can reduce employee contracts by that amount for the rest of the year, or you can start out with what you have, and then if the legislature appropriates the supplemental, then you increase the contract for the remainder of the year. And that's what's still in negotiation and yet to be decided.
And what's in the budget right now is the $2,000 increase, okay. Most exactly,
okay.
For our certified
employees.
Okay. So that's still kind of hanging out there, and no one's giving us any more good counsel and advice. I really anticipate that, unless I get surprised, that it'll wait until the legislative session, and then they'll look at a supplementary or nothing.
Okay. I just wondered what this would figure out.
Any other comments, second?
If you have any specific questions about your budget, I did want to clarify there was a small change in the budget that was on the table today from what I gave you before. And if anyone here would really like a copy of the budget.
You want a copy of the budget?
I don't want to do the
I don't even want a copy of the budget, so I have one.
Okay, the only change is we took some pages out because they were funds that we don't use. If you look on your old, I'll call it the old budget, the one that came with your packet, there's several pages that just have zeros on them, there's no figures. Those are taken out, and the page numbering has been changed so that it flows.
Okay.
And there's also page numbering on the new fund 21, and it didn't have that. The only substantial numerical change is that we had not put in an $11,500 transfer between Fund 23 and Fund 10, the general fund and non-K-12. So if you look at page 9 in the general fund, you'll see an amount of $11,500 in the right-hand column. It's a balance of transfer money. The budget actually includes several transfers for various reasons, but some amount of those is that we transfer $11,500 out of Fund 10 and into Fund 23. And so that includes that transfer. And then in Fund 23, if you go to page 15, page 14, in the first set of numbers there on the right-hand side, you'll see an 11,500 in parentheses.
Mm, okay.
That indicates that it's a negative expense, which actually means it's a revenue into the fund, but it has to be accounted for that way so that it balances. Try to not make it too complicated, but that's the balancing number between those two phones. So, other than that, everything is the same. And if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer.
Any comments out there?
Yeah.
Questions?
Called in with my questions, and he's so very slow.
Yeah,
we appreciate that. Actually, if I'm totally honest about that, it's because I have to look everything up because I don't have this budget memorized. It takes me a long time to look up the numbers.
Thank you for explaining my dumb question.
If there aren't any other comments, we will declare. Public hearing closed and a general session reconvened.
We need a motion.
We need a motion on it,
Governor. Yeah.
Probably I ought to have a motion to close the public hearing and to reopen the
general session.
I'll make so.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, then we need a motion
to adopt
the regular,
to adopt
the, got my notes
adopt
here. Right, adopt the tentative budget.
That would be my turn.
And I'll second that.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Then I would move that we open a public hearing. Is that what you need now?
To receive
just
the budget for fiscal year 2007.
Adjourn the regular set board meeting to public hearing to open and adjust the budget for the 2006-07 year.
You said that.
Okay. There are seconds to that? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Now what?
Okay, I think we're to the next. Okay.
I will again.
Okay. And so we're in the public.
We don't know what you want. What do you want to do?
We're in the public hearing
for the fiscal year
2006-07 budget.
Right.
Yeah.
I'm sure you hear this every year. we open and adjust the budget for a variety of reasons. We have to make adjusting entries to the budget based on what our actual expenditures end up being as opposed to what we have budgeted for. And typically, they aren't going to be major differences. This year, there will be one major difference that I know Ross may be aware of back in November, that the budget was set up for the gymnasium at $1.9 million, and the cost will actually be about $2.75 million, and so we'll adjust the budget for that. What it will do is take out the fund, it will take more out of the fund balance than we had originally anticipated, and the fund balance is at about $2.7 million now. So we'll swap those numbers. The fund balance will be down around $2 million, and the budgeted amount for the gym will be $2.7 million, if that makes sense.
Yep.
And then all the other adjusting will be small entries here and there just to make things balance to the extent. And we would need a motion to authorize the business administrator to make those adjustments.
I'll move.
Okay.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay.
Now I'm moving to
close the public hearing.
Then board action item meeting, is that right?
Close the public hearing, if there are any more comments, and then move to authorize the business administrator to make the adjustment entries.
Oh, okay.
That's what you said.
You just said that, didn't you?
Sure, I said
that.
All in favor? Aye. Any opposed? Okay, I think we're back in regular session now. And we will need to do consent items, the warrants, the minutes, and the financial reports for May. Is that where we are?
Yeah.
And I'll second that motion.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Now we have some policy actions, including some policies.
Okay.
And new policies.
We have several policy actions. And they're listed on your agenda. We have 7 policies that need to be rescinded. Those are the retirement of professional and support staff, the early retirement policies, which there are 3, the district purchase of service credit. Now, down to that point, those are policies that are being rescinded and replaced with the new policy that's been developed on with the OPEB committee, which is the longevity benefit policy and the sick leave payout benefit. So in other words, all of the other retirement policies are being rescinded, and then in a minute you'll approve the policies that replace them.
Right.
The IKFBA, the Graduation Exercises Certificate of Progress, is a policy that refers to a certificate of progress to students who are on an IEP. And since the law no longer allows for certificates of progress, then we are asking, that we're suggesting or recommending that that policy be rescinded with these others. And I think I sent you copies of those with the lines drawn through them.
Right.
The certificates of progress are no longer part of the program. So,
is there any
recommending that those policies be rescinded at this time.
Second?
I'll
second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Is this already in the new book, the revised one?
It is. So if you don't approve it tonight, we'll have to pull them out and start over. So your new policy manuals have all of these changes already in.
Those
can be destroyed.
Okay.
They're all in the book.
They're already in there. Also,
the new policies that we're recommending that you. Approval of new policies GCBBB and GBBBB. Those are both the staff sick leave payout.
Say those again, Kirk.
Give me the GBBBB. The reason that they're both the same policies, but they're in two places in the policy manual, one under professional staff and one under support staff. Okay? Actually, they could be in there three times if you put an administrative one in, but we chose to keep it at professional staff and support staff. The GCBBC and the GDBC. Is the long staff longevity benefit, and before you approve that, Jared needs to be to explain this to you.
That's
this is the policy that has come out of a year's work with a committee. I think two of you, Rue and Marie, were on that committee. Kim was on that committee. Jed and JJ. We also had David Bird. We had Connie Worthen. We had Casey Flucky. Help me out. Who else?
And then Paul.
Yeah. Okay. This is the this was our OPEB work, and this longevity benefit is what we're recommending replace the early retirement programs that we currently have to keep us from going bankrupt. Although it's still going to cost us a lot of money in the transition, but we have really little choice. And I think this committee has come up with a recommendation that is a good program. And so I'm going to let Jared take some time and try to explain that a little bit to you and before you vote on those new policies.
As best I can. I recognize this morning I probably should have done a short PowerPoint for this. It might have made it easier. This new policy that we're proposing is it's a shift from our previous early retirement policies in that it's not an early retirement program or incentive. And that's why we're calling it a longevity benefit, because what it really does is rewards employees who stay in the district. And when the benefits start to kick in, once an employee has completed 15 years in the district, and I believe the last 10 of those years have to have been consecutive. So once an employee meets those criteria, they move into receiving these benefits. And essentially what the program is, we'll go through details, but the basic idea is that we will deposit into an employee's 401k account a certain amount of money at the end of each school year. And so that money will accrue over the years. It will gain interest based on how well an employee manages their account. But the idea that we wanted to use was, if we put money into an interest-bearing account and it can grow over 15 or 20 years, it can really provide quite a good benefit for the employee. And since we're getting away from the business of paying our early retirees health insurance, we tried to target an amount that would at least allow employees who chose to do so to pay for a good portion of their health insurance. Recognizing, of course, that the costs are going up, and you never know what it's going to cost somebody when they retire, but we'll still have a good amount of money for an employee. So how it's structured, like I said, is just that we'll be depositing at the end of each school year a certain amount of money into each employee's 401k account. Now, that amount is determined by three different programs that we have within this policy. First of these programs is what we're calling forward deposits, and these forward deposits will be for all qualifying employees. It'll be $1,000 per school year, plus 0.3% of the base salary of the employee for that year. We wanted to combine both a base amount that was equal across the board, as well as a small salary adjustment so that an employee salary factors into it also. The reason for that, and we discussed this a lot as a committee, is that our current early retirement policies do have a basis in salary, which is stipends, and so we wanted to kind of transfer that idea to this policy so that it's fair for one to the next. So what we'll do in the business office is just calculate this amount, $1,000 plus 0.2% of everyone's salary, and deposit that into their 401k. So any employee who, at the end of this next school year, would qualify would get that amount. Now, we also recognize that there are employees, can I use you as an example, superintendent?
You bet. I've been using an example of a lot of things. Who's it got 35 years in now?
I want to take GD number two. Employees who are past year 15 at this point. Obviously, we want to do some sort of a back payment for those years that they've already completed in order to be fair. And so we're calling those retro pay deposits. And it's the exact same as a forward pay, except that it'll be $1,050 a year and 0.7% of the base salary. So those calculations are actually a little bit more. And the reason for that is to kind of make up for the lost interest that could have been accruing had we had this program in the past. And these numbers that we came up with, you know, the $1,000 or the $1,050 and the 0.3% or the 0.7%, we ran several scenarios. You know, Kim's probably got 2 inches of paperwork from all the scenarios we ran. And these were what came out as being the most fair and equitable, we felt. So that would be the retro pay deposit. So in the superintendent's case, he's already worked all the way up to year 30. So he would get 15 full years of this retro pay put into his 401k account. Plus, we have a provision in here for employees who work more than 30 years, which we don't generally get a lot of employees who go past that, but if there are some, we still want to give them something. And so, in the superintendent's case, for all of his years that he's worked above 30, he would get $250 plus 0.7% of his base salary for each year. So, we just calculate these amounts for each employee and put them into their account. The third program or type of payment, probably the most difficult to understand, but we call it catch-up deposits. Mustard deposit. Just to clarify. What happened was when we ran our analysis of the numbers based on just forward payments and retro payments, we found that it was fair for everybody until our employees who are currently at about year 22 up until about year 30, and it kind of dipped for them, the value of the program. So we wanted to do some sort of additional catch-up payment that would equalize the value of the program for these employees. And so if you go to page 3 of the policy, you'll see that we've structured a set of payments from years 21 to 30. I know this is a lot of information, apologize for that, but these would be one-time payments. So an employee who right now, at the end of this year, is completing year 25, when they retire, they would get a one-time payment of $2,000, in addition to the forward payments and the retro payments that we're putting in their account from year to year.
At retirement, not...
Yes, it's at retirement, and it's a one-time payment. And we structured these payments to equalize, like I said, the value of the benefits for all of our employees. And what we came up with really was a straight line graph of the value as you went from someone at year 15 to someone at year 30. So it did equalize the way we wanted it to. We are implementing a priority schedule. I guess I better talk about the funding of this and how it would work. The whole reason for this revision, as you know, is that we had an estimated liability of $7+ million with our current early retirement program, which we couldn't afford. It not necessarily would have bankrupted us, but it would have tied up all of our funds that we had, because we'd have to set them aside into a special account for that liability. So what we've tried to do here is minimize what we'll have to take out of our fund balance, but clearly as we ran the numbers, we will have to dip into our fund balance to fund this. And so as we met as a committee and discussed this, we ran all the numbers, and it was kind of like, how much do we dare go into the fund balance versus, you know, how much can we get our employees so that they have a good benefit out of this? And the balance that we came up with is an estimated $1 million into our fund balance as a maximum. Now, that may or may not happen, but we structured it purposefully because we did not want to crash our fund balance. So the way that we would fund this, and this is included in the budget, is we set aside a certain amount of money each year for this program, just like we've done for early retirement in years past. And this is an example. In this year's budget that we're just finishing, we have $400,000 for early retirement. For this next year, that number actually, you'd be surprised with the amount of early retirees we have, but it goes down a little bit. And then we're also budgeting an extra $200,000 to fund the forward payments and as many retro payments as we can. And we're also budgeting $150,000 of fund balance for this upcoming year. That was part of that $500,000 that you saw up there. And so out of that $200,000 and $150,000, we'll pay everybody's forward deposit at the end of next year for everybody who qualifies. And then we'll pay, for anyone who's retiring, we'll pay their catch-up payment, that one-time payment of retirement, and then we'll pay as much of the retro payments as we can with that budget of money. And we'll do that, we estimate, for the next 5 years is what it's going to take to eliminate all of the retro payments and get everybody up to where they should be. So that's how it would be funded, is over a schedule of 5 years.
And after 5 years, you know, you're not using the fund balance. Right. You're caught up and then it move ahead.
As an example,
we transition 3 to 5 years.
We project, like I said, we've spent roughly $400,000 on early retirement typically from year to year. We project that once we're through this 5 years, and all we're paying is those forward payments from year to year, that will be about $120,000 a year.
Mm-hmm.
So that saves us close to $300,000 that can be used for, you know, this is of course theoretical, but can be used for other parts of our budget. So we think it'll be good. One other thing I want to mention, we did, recognizing that someone may get all of their retro pay at the end of next year and someone may not get it for 5 years, we're adding on 5% a year for the missed interest that they would get. So that also equalizing.
That was a good explanation. I even understand it. I didn't even understand
very
it.
I feel like I talked a whole lot. That didn't make a lot of sense.
Yeah, that's
what question are there?
Excellent capital invention of lots and lots of hours of community.
Yes, and thanks to all of you. That was I cannot believe that you could come up with such a a good plan.
I'd also like to thank everybody.
Yeah, amazing.
Well, but yeah. I think you need to understand that this is very complex.
Yes.
And without Jed and I, and a lot of credit also to Jackie,
yeah.
Sure.
Who ran a lot of these numbers, and I'm just really amazed at her expertise in this area. In accounting this way, and Jared and Jackie put in a lot of extra time, and really are the ones who gave us the information we needed to make these decisions. It was very complex, so a lot of the credit really goes.
But
yeah.
So we did.
We had some good. We had a good committee.
And the board might be interested. Not everyone was in agreement all the time on what we did, mm-hmm. but when we finalized this plan and this policy. It was unanimous. Everybody was happy with it. So.
And they had input from their different organizations and feedback. I just had questions on the 401k. Is that uh-huh. something that they can get into and draw out of before retirement?
You can, but it takes
I know
a 10% penalty.
Yeah, I know it takes a penalty, but...
59.5, I think.
Yeah, when you turn 59.5. Now, there's also provision that when you turn 55 and a half, and I'm not sure about the specifics of it, but some people qualify at that age to withdraw funds without penalty.
But they can still.
Yeah.
Okay.
But the committee, I think, felt that one benefit of that is we really intend this money to be for when somebody retires. And so having it in a 401k is kind of incentive to keep it there and not just spend it right away.
That's true. Okay.
Okay, with that, those explanations, and I'd also like to add to that the same motion, the revision of the post-retirement employment policy. That revision is to remove references to the early retirement
okay.
that's in there. And also, there is one minor change in that one of the provisions in there said that if the intent was for the employee to go back to full-time employment after 6 months, the 6 months part-time, that you would keep them on full medical insurance. Well, that's illegal. We can't do that because the law says you cannot verbally or in writing guarantee a person full-time employment beyond that 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
So legally we couldn't do that. So we just removed that from the, and just basically said that they're eligible for insurance at the same as all other employees, part-time or full-time. So that's that revision. But the basic revision of that is to remove any reference to the early retirement program, which no longer exists.
Right.
So I recommend that the board approve those four new policies, actually two policies in four different places, and the revision of the post-retirement employment policy.
Okay.
I'll make a motion that we do so.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Mm-hmm. Any opposed?
Okay, one other major change, and we're going to, this is a new policy coding system. You each have a new book, and I'm telling you, there's a lot of hours in there. We hope we got all the bugs worked out of it. But NSBA has a new policy coding system that's been in effect for 4 or 5 years, and we haven't updated to it until now. The new policy manuals that you have here are the updated coding system, and they also include the new policies and revisions that you just approved. What we need to do is collect your old policy manuals, and we want to do that methodically so we know we have them out of the way, so there's nothing floating out anywhere that is not the new policy, new coding system. So we'll collect those from you. So if until then, if you get new policies, don't make sure they go in the right book. But we'll try to collect them. For the schools and all of the others, when we get back into session, we will go around and each school, and we will collect the old policy manuals and distribute the new ones. That includes our association rep. I think there are two copies in each school. Each of your faculty reps have one, and then you and Casey have one.
One library, two, I think, three.
Well, I have a list, and it just said two in each school. One's in the principal's office, and one is either in the library or the faculty lounge, besides the faculty rep. So there should be three in each building. We're going to try to collect those and check them off, so that we know that we don't get them mixed together. But the changes are coding changes. But we need you to approve the new codes. So
okay.
I sent those to you, the old and the new codes. So I need a motion to approve the new policy coding system.
I'll so move.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Thank you. Now, that's big. We have some personnel action items, and on my report, I have those listed.
Right.
If you want to pull that out. Actually, let's just follow that down. We've done the coding, the policies, and the coding system. Right now, we're on a new position that we are recommending. This is a special education position. We do have the funding for this. I'm going to have John explain that position. I think I did send you an email on this to explain what that was. We were kind of in a hurry to get that out, but I'm going to have John explain that position to you. One of the concerns that we have, and we've had for about 5 years now, is the increased number of students with disabilities that are behavioral in nature. We're getting more and more of those students all the time, and more of them are requiring specialized help, not only for them, but also working with the parents and the teachers in how to deal with those behavioral issues. And also, many of the students were having to hire full-time educational assistants to work with, and we want to try to use our resources the best we can, and so we're recommending that we look at an elementary special ed psychologist position. John, add to that now.
Trip down memory lane. Dozen years ago, we had a venture with public health, mental health called Unity. What was it called? Something interactive. We had a thought grant in which we hired a. Excuse me?
What's your name, Loretta?
We had two. We had Leona Lynn was one.
And
the original mental health person was another lady from Orangeville. At any rate, we had a 3-year soft money arrangement. Mm-hmm. And we worked through a process with other agencies and with parents of kids similar to what we're describing here today. And that worked really well. After the grant fizzled, we maintained that through some local state funding. And at the end of Mr. Lynn's era, she retired and we ended up declining enrollment. Simply decided we were to continue. At this point in time now, we have tons of kids with lots of referrals and lots of issues, and we thought, well, this would be a good time to bring that person back. Going to the principal, if they knew I needed support with two kids in the back, sitting on this this idea.
Number one teacher in class.
So here we are, and have good funding and at least two possible candidates that will be interviewing in the next week or so, depending on the approval of that.
Do you have any questions about that?
Families and agencies coming together.
We are recommending the board you approve that position.
That's where the funding is coming
from? That's where it originally started.
So where is the funding?
Special education funding.
It's state funding.
And it'll
special education formula was
hard money.
Okay. Several years ago. We actually knew that.
That's
great.
It wouldn't be factored into the budget.
Okay. I don't think there's any questions.
No. Let's get a motion for that.
I would so move.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you, John.
Also have a letter of resignation from Tiffany Christensen, who is self-contained special ed at Castle Dale. Her husband, Ryan Banks, got moved to Spanish Fork. So I need a motion to accept her letter of resignation. I don't think it makes any difference whether you did or didn't, but it's always, she did submit that and you need to accept that. So.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
I'm going to have JJ now talk to you about the extracurricular pay schedule. You recall last you met with... I'm just going down my report. It's part of the personnel, so I'm going to have you do that now, JJ. No, that's coming. That sounds. I'm going to do that at the bottom.
Oh, it could be something.
Oh, this yeah, the report I gave you tonight. I know they look a lot alike, but
I thought it was
different. So I'm going to have JJ present to you our recommendation for extracurricular pay schedule. It's been a number of years since we adjusted it. And I will say this in introduction to that. We talked before to you about proposing an increase, then from then on tying it to WPU. But the problem we have now with what the legislature is doing is they're taking away our WPU flexibility and telling us what we're going to pay. So we don't want to tie that. We want to just do our every 3 to 5 year review of it. But recognizing it's been 4 or 5 years since there was any increase there, we do want to recommend them. JJ has worked up some numbers. And
I think you have a copy that was in your packet, so I didn't bring another one. If you don't have one, I do have an extra one.
Let me get it. Mine's stuffed away in my briefcase.
It has been about 5 years.
It's probably part of my stuff I sent to you. If you don't have it, then
it has been about 5 years since we looked at this.
to get away from the 2% per week and just have a flat rate that was part of this schedule, And they could divide that up among the instructors for their summer program.
A suggestion will be made later. You can divide it however you want to. We don't care. You tell us how to spend that $9,000. We'll be happy to do that. 20%. And so that is our proposal for you. I also added one thing we've never done. We've had that athletic director pay at Emory High School. Green River's never had to pay in their salary schedule. So we paid a major head coach salary for the athletic director at Emory High. Because of the numbers at Green River and the number of sports is less, we give an assistant coach again at major sports for their salary. And I've talked to both the principal at Green River. He is very happy with that.
So you've kind of gone to all these people, same with the summer band, and they sat down with you and they...
I sat down with the band today. I talked to Coach Jones about the other two that really affect his program. And the rest I haven't talked to, but they'll be happy.
They'll be happy.
I talked to Jimmy, and Jimmy just said, that's fantastic. I didn't think he'd be that.
But it is, the overall is about exactly 10% increase on the total budget.
Okay.
I did check with Jackie to see what we had in the budget, and I think I'm over $600 or something left to get in the budget.
But then we don't want to tie that to WCU. We want to just review it again every 3 to 5 years.
Okay.
Yeah, that was our
real. Because of what the legislature is doing.
The legislature settles down, and we may be able to tie the salary, which we would like to do. Okay. And we don't have to review it again.
Well, that's a lot of work. We appreciate you doing that.
I'd like to recommend that the board approve that.
Yes.
And that's probably in the budget, too, already.
It is. Ready for motion?
Yep.
I'll move.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Okay, I have several names for approval. Let me go down through these and make one motion. We've done the interviewing, and these are the recommendations for positions. We haven't got all the positions filled, and we still have some aid positions and some teaching positions that we're still looking for. But I would recommend Dixie Felder as the counselor at Emory High School, Jimmy Jones as assistant principal at Emory High School, Linda Wilberg as the work-based learning coordinator. This is to take Dixie's place.
Oh, okay.
Dixie was the work-based learning coordinator. And Tony, I tell about him, a Tony White, social studies at Green River High School. No.
He's
coming
from both higher ed and public ed.
Mm-hmm.
With two masters degrees and a family.
He's from Delta, right? From Delta.
He is from Delta, yes.
Robert Mon to do special ed, PE, health, French, driver's ed, and whatever else. This is Garth Johnson's son-in-law.
Good.
So lives in Yuma right now, I think.
He'll
save us some time with Garth traveling to Yuma, too. So. That's
Green
on
River.
The score job. Bert Simmons, who teaches music, art, and the media at Green River High School, and he was from...
He's from Logan here, the first year teacher.
He
graduated from Logan USU.
Also recommending that Patrick Brady replace Stan Parsons. Stan was been retired a couple of years, but we haven't done anything for Nolan to help him with his with that assistant principal position at Green River High. So what we're doing is adding an additional prep period to Patrick Brady. He will then do what Stan has done and help Nolan at the high school as an assistant. Christine Shaw, a special ed teacher at Huntington Elementary. This is to replace Belinda. She's coming to Carbon School District.
Mm-hmm.
Where's John? Sarah Grindley, a 3-hour educational assistant at Cottonwood. Sarah O'Connell. I believe this one is Connie Ware's retiring special ed position. Then we have two preschool educational assistants to replace people who have left. Doris Pace, 3-hour, and Janice Mortensen, 3-hour. I don't have the school placements because we're not sure where our preschool is going to end.
Doris Price.
Is it Price?
Yeah.
I was told Pace.
Price.
Okay. I have it in writing. So John's done that.
We'll clarify that in a minute. Make sure.
Okay, make sure you change that to Scott.
She did a lot of subbing last year. She's a good gal.
And like I say, we're still looking for an English teacher at Canyon View. We are looking for a level 4 math teacher at Emory High. And we can find out. We are looking for several educational assistants that we're having to replace because of retirement. We're looking at an elementary teacher at Bookcliff Elementary. The extended day kindergarten program that will be at Bookcliff Elementary. We're looking for an educational assistant to work there under that grant. But in the paper this week, there's a whole list of them. They're still being advertised, and we're getting in June here.
Question, Kurt. What do we do with the counselor at Emory High? Were they on extended contracts at all?
They are. They are on extended contract with Summer. I'm trying to think. We have reduced that. Adele was basically on the 11-month contract. We have reduced that to 10.5 months.
10.5 months.
Yes.
And
we are still trying to decide. The state, the legislature appropriated $1 million statewide for counseling to try to reduce the student to counselor ratio somewhat in the state. The problem is it doesn't, our share of that, you have to match it 50-50, and it doesn't really provide enough to hire counselors. We could possibly hire a counselor's aide, and they will allow that. But we have to match it. We're still in the talking stages of that. But that, if we did that, we hoped it would free up some of the counselor time to spend more time in Greenwood. But we haven't made that decision yet. We're still talking with Ed with comprehensive guidance and John and the budget. And it seemed like it was $14,000 or something, and then we had to match it.
And all that money has to be spent on top of what we...
can't take place of what we're doing now.
What do you do with Dixie on the 10.5 months? Does she start whenever she wants to? Or
no.
Are those guidelines pretty firm?
Yeah, they're pretty firm. Right. It's so many weeks right after school and then before school. And it's basically working with scheduling and... Mm-hmm. And
from the record.
Yeah.
So she would be working the summer then?
It'd be 6 weeks in the summer, I think. I think Adele's closing. She starts like 2 weeks before school and goes in the next summer.
Okay.
But we did reduce that summer work, we felt because of declining enrollments. We have reduced that by a couple of weeks in the summer.
Okay.
So I recommend the board approve those new hires.
I make that motion.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? All work.
One other action item. There's two other action items. One of them's not on my list.
That's what I do.
We go back now to the main agenda, item number 7. Not my report, but the main board agenda. And it's also the last one on mine, but. Oh, we missed one, didn't we?
You'll come up.
Go back to number 5 on the main agenda.
Right, on the main agenda. Okay, approval.
Every year, there has to be listed in the board minutes that the board approved the comprehensive guidance and work-based learning programs for the school district. They haven't changed, they're not changing, but we do need a motion of the board to continue the current programs as they now exist under comprehensive guidance and work-based learning.
Okay.
So that we can apply for the grant.
Okay. Yeah, so we need a motion to do that.
I'll make a motion to leave. So,
second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Now to number 7. County assessor has requested the use of a school bus to take. They're having apparently a state conference of assessors here.
Goodness, you guys. Don't you see some classes? Come on. We'll pass them down.
And they're going to take these assessors to some of the tourist sites on June 21st. They're willing to pay for the cost of us, provide the liability insurance. So I'm recommending the board approve the use of a school bus. Roger has approved it, said it's all right. He's looked at the site they want to go to. It's no place that we don't go on field trips.
No.
I didn't. For a tour, huh? No. Okay, do we have a motion?
I'll make a motion that we want that stuff.
And Marie second that?
But.
Okay.
Yeah.
How about chaperones?
You want to volunteer?
Okay, I think we're down to Jed.
All in favor?
Jed now has
the mic. Aye, any opposed?
Jed has an action item that he needs to take you to.
We have some bids to do approvals on, and a couple of these I know you're already aware of, but we do need to still do the formal motion on them. So the first one of these, and if you have any questions, this is why Leroy stayed. So the first bid is the green paper. It's the bid for carpet and tiling project. The low bid is from Affordable Flooring, John Sorensen. And
I like some of that cheese. Do you have any chance?
Oh, it's back to the back.
The file was 23104.15, carpet 26613.54. For a combined bid of $49,717.99. The other bid was from Double E Construction. The file was 22842. The carpet 29447 for a total bid of 53289. Leroy and I would like to recommend awarding the bid to Affordable Flooring, John Sorensen. Do you want to do a separate motion for each bid, or we probably ought to in case there's an issue with one.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed?
Who seconded that?
Me.
Thank you. Okay, the second bid is the Goldenrod.
Right between Goldenrod and Buff.
Okay. We'll call it Goldenrod because we have Buff behind it there. So, the Goldenrod paper is the bid tabulation for the heating upgrade at our junior high school, boiler replacement. Our low bid is from Pinnacle Heating for $91,000. The next bid was.
That's not the charter school, is it?
No. Okay. They're out of Telford.
It's local.
They're out of Telford, yeah. The next bid from CNC Heating and Air for $97,875, and then our astronomical bid from S&R Mechanical for
$168,000.
And that's the first one we saw, and we about had a heart attack. The representative from Pinnacle was there for the bid opening, and I know Leroy's worked with him. We'd like to recommend that bid for approval.
I move. Make the motion that we accept them. We'll make the motion. Same on second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Where are they from?
Okay, the next bid is for the parking lot that will be behind the new gymnasium. And this is the one that on this flight sheet, it is the, let me make sure I'm right here. Okay, it's the first column on both the blue and the yellow. It says gymnasium. So we received, I guess to explain what this is, with the construction project, the contract said that they would replace anything that they tore up in the construction, which really wasn't a whole lot behind there. And Leroy finagled a trade where they wouldn't do that, and instead they put in some extra concrete out there on the patio area as you come into the museum. It was an area where I think Nolan wanted concrete there instead of grass, just so they didn't have any sprinklers and all of that. So Leroy arranged for that trade, so now we need to put in the full parking lot back there.
The parking lot was actually in real terrible shape anyway, mm-hmm. back there. Mm-hmm. It really needed to be replaced. The piece of glass that we replaced back there was concrete. When we built the building, the water line that supplied that was right underneath where the building was at, mm-hmm. before it was removed. So it would have entailed running a new water line completely around the gymnasium up there for a small amount of concrete.
Oh, yeah.
As that. And Nolan requested that we put it in concrete. So I made a little trade with Great Plains Construction down there for what little bit of paving he would have to do in that parking lot for that extra concrete and make that and it really looks reasonable down there now, better than it would if we had a kind of small
pack.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah. It keeps water away from the building.
Mm-hmm.
This is great.
So the bids we have to present, there were two bids for the asphalting. One was from Milton Construction for $28,304, and the other from LeGrand Johnson for $37,478. We'd like to recommend the Milton Construction bid, recognizing that they will actually bill us on quantity of material that's used. If I'm not mistaken, the
right.
So it could fluctuate a little bit, mm-hmm. but generally the price per square foot, as you can see, is much lower than the other bid. And in combination with that bid, we have High Desert Excavating, who would do the base beneath it, the prep work, for 35 cents a square foot for $68.32. So we'd like to recommend awarding the bid to Milton Construction and to High Desert Excavating for this project.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
All in favor?
Aye. Who is High Desert Excavating? Who are they?
His name is Dan Harrison.
Oh, that's why you used to make a notion, right?
He's the only one
down there.
$35 per foot. He went in and excavated down. It's a real reasonable price. Really. Yes, it is. The final bid we wanted to present is a separate project down at Green River, and it's one that we've considered in our capital outlay for a little bit, and we felt like with us doing the parking lot, it would make sense to combine with that project in terms of cost savings, so we wouldn't have to do a separate project. So we got bids for paving the bus compound at Green River High School. It's 1,500 square feet, and again, we'd like to recommend the bid from Milton Construction, which results at $16,675, in combination with the bid from High Desert Excavating for the prep work for $14,025.
Right now, that's just dirt. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
The bus is not that stuck.
You might make note that the reason that we have a bus compound now is because Isaac has retired from school district, and the buses were parked on his property down there.
Uh-huh.
All of the years he's been a driver down there. But what did we find? We had to build a bus compound, and we built it at the high school because we had the property there. And we went ahead as a ministry office, stepped it all in, and we had Dan Harrison come and put the gravel in there. But now to save some money and do it right and do some paving in there for the public park, we could save pretty substantial amount of money by doing it and trying to do the paving at the same time.
Okay.
You want a motion?
I'll
second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed?
Okay. And the final item for approval. It's been a long approval session.
You ended up the student built house, too.
Yeah.
Oh, I skipped that one, didn't I? The student health house, we'd like to approve the funding. This funding just transfers from year to year within the fund. It actually, and I probably should have mentioned this in the budget portion, but our auditors recommended that we move that from our capital outlay fund 32 to our general fund. And so we did do that in this year's budget. We transferred that money. What I would like to recommend approval of funding is $150,000. Now the trend, basically what it ends up being is whatever money we make from selling the house plus what's left over in the account, and estimating that to be about $150,000, but it could fluctuate, but I'd like to suggest approval of $150,000. Also want to mention that we don't spend that much in building a house, but that is what's in the account and it's accumulated from year to year.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
All in favor? Aye. Aye. Any opposed?
Can I make a couple comments there?
Yeah.
Jed and I and Ed, you weren't here, right, Jed, you that day? Met with Roger Page, who owns the property directly south of our construction area for our homes, because we're folks running out of lots.
Yeah.
Roger Pay wants to develop that area into building lots and wanted to meet with us. He wanted to coordinate his area. He's going to subdivide with what we're doing. We did not go into that meeting with any anticipation that he really wanted to help us. He was interested in himself, but we were quite surprised that he really wants to work with us.
Okay.
And he's looking, drawing up some drawings. And matter of fact, I had a voicemail for him and said he had some preliminary hopes he could have it here today, but I lost his phone number, so I couldn't call him back. Change some of the boundaries that we currently have, which would help us because it would make an additional two lots that we could build on just by making a transfer of some property.
We have two lots that are too small. They don't meet the setback requirements.
But it would also help him because then he could change the size of some of the lots he wants. But he is also willing to work with us so that we could purchase anywhere from 5 to 10 additional lots in that area to build homes on. Now, we're not sure what the cost of that's going to be. But as we talked about what we're selling our lots for when we sell the homes, he acted like he felt like it was pretty reasonable. So we're quite optimistic that maybe we can do something in that same area and still continue that project for a number of years. But just wanted to report to you we did have that meeting, and probably by next board meeting we may have some drawings that we can have you look at to maybe approve some lease and transfer of property to help us pick up a couple of additional lots and maybe tentatively look at some new lots that we could build on in the future.
Well, the home over there is certainly a good job this year.
Did a good job.
Has it been sold yet?
It has not, but we do have an offer. I'm just waiting to hear back from our realtor. We did accept the offer, so we're just waiting to see if the funding comes through. We did have two offers that we had accepted that both fell through because of funding. So we're on the third, but there's been no shortage of interested people.
This is an amazing program. We have
all come to all. It is amazing. It is.
That house was just great.
Hey, now finally our last action.
Are you sure?
I think so, but I better not.
Surplus property.
Okay, surplus property. We have a list for you of vehicles that we would like to declare surplus. Roger and Dennis made up this list of vehicles that are run down, not doing too well, high mileage, and so we'd recommend each of those. There's two buses, a van, two cars, and two trucks. And then I'd also, there's a lawnmower down in Green River that's not used, it's been sitting there for a few years, that we'd like to declare surplus. Glad you present that with clearance.
You need a motion for that?
I'll move.
I'll second.
All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Let's go to the report.
I'm going to make mine really quick here. Just to report, I gave you a copy of our optional extended day kindergarten plan. It should have been there tonight. So yeah. We just barely got that done today. We did two things. We looked at poverty rate. Bookcliff had the highest poverty rate of 40%. We did an assessment on all entering kindergarten students throughout the school district. All of the new entering kindergarten kids, we did an assessment. And Bookcliff, I think it was scored at about 42 or 43%. I believe the next score was at 60. It's in the plan. It's in the... Okay. 42.4% correct compared to 64% correct and 78.5% correct on the other two Title I schools. Mm-hmm. So we made the decision to place the extended day kindergarten program at Bookcliff Elementary. We don't have enough to do two. We have more than enough for the one, but not enough for two. So the budget we've written in there is pretty plush on supplies and materials. We are going to hire an educational assistant to work with that in that afternoon part of the program. We have some staff development already scheduled during the summer. So that's the plan that we wrote. You're welcome to read it. It meets the criteria the state put in there, plus a lot of words. So one thing we're good at is words.
So is this the funding total
we would need somewhere between 75,000 to 80,000 to do two kindergarten programs.
Okay. Okay. Do you need a motion?
No, we don't need a motion on that. It didn't say it had to be approved by the board. I'm just sharing the plan with you and giving that information. One other thing that I think would be good to have in our minutes and a student recognition. That we receive. Now this sounds a little silly when you first read it, but it's really an honor. We had Camille Felberg, who's Reed Felberg's daughter. She was selected by the American Milk Processors and USA Today. She is the Scholar Athlete Milk Mustache of the Year Award, the Sammy Award. She will appear in the June 22nd USA Today. Her picture.
Mm-hmm.
As a student athlete, you can probably go online to USA Today and probably find that. You know, they have the milk mustache. Mm-hmm. But really, it's quite an honor. And, mm-hmm. and she and her parents get to go to Orlando and to Disney World. And their pictures usually appear in either USA Today, Sports Illustrated, or ESPN Magazine. And I understand it's going to be in USA Today on June 22nd. That's what I've been told. I certainly want to commend her. She's a student, not only an athlete, but a student athlete.
Yeah.
And I understand she's accepted a track scholarship at Utah State University.
Okay.
So.
Which
tells
she has been.
Super person,
too.
Yeah, she is.
Yeah,
Sterling scholar.
What did she get here? It's a $7,500 scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for this one. But I just think that's neat, and we certainly want to have that mentioned here with you. So. That's all I have.
Okay.
The only thing I would like is if Leroy would update you on the construction of the high school, since it's the gymnasium, because it's still close to being done. So.
They were.
Now, did you know if he said the high school?
Yeah.
How long has it been since Green River High was referred to as the high school?
The high school.
It's usually every high is referred to as the high school.
The high school. We're at the other end of the county.
They are now the high school. You're bold.
See, he is not from here, so he doesn't know any better.
I grew up in a 1A school, so I like to give respect.
There you go. I also respect
you.
The intent is for it to be completed by now. They've had some setbacks with the people installing the gym floor, and with the mechanical contractor. There is probably 2 weeks delay from final. Tentatively we got set for a final inspection and on the 27th of this month. Providing there's no problem, that would probably be the final date and acceptance. Four people have been going really, really slow. They were supposed to have been done in 2 weeks. They're already into their third week. They still have about a fourth of the floor to lay, but they still need to finish it and stripe up and everything. They have given them until the end of next week to be completed and out of there. They have got a section ready now and finished where they can put the bleachers in. But now, the bleacher contractor is wants to back out and go for 3 weeks before he does it. And so we're in kind of a battle to get him down there and talking to the contractor tonight down there. He said that they would be in next week to put the bleachers in. Fire marshal will be down next week sometime to make inspections on the school. And so hopefully we're completed with it down there on the 27th for final inspection.
You don't know what time of the day that will be done.
Our final inspection will probably start at 11 in the morning.
Okay.
We're supposed to have the mechanical engineer down there, the structural engineer, and of course the architect, myself, anybody else that gets to want to come down to it. And we'll make a walkthrough.
Let's create a punch list or something for
we'll
finding
create a punch
test.
List if there's a problem. We have had one problem down there, and that's relating to ADA. And that the toilets have to be a certain distance from the wall, which is 16 to 18 inches. The toilets were installed down there, one of them at 20 inches. Well, it was two of them actually, it was 20 inches. One was in the official locker room, and one was in the girls' restroom, their shower area. And I made a statement to them that I don't want a handicapped official. So what we've done is we've got approval from the ADA, state ADA, to eliminate the ADA in the official locker room and make it just a regular stall in there rather than that, an ADA approval. We got that from the state. And so because of the fact that we already have two in the office, one of them will have to move the toilet in the one bathroom that's in the shower area. So that's going to be a little expense on the contractor. Nothing that's been spent for us. One other thing we found as we tied the electricity into the school, the existing school, there's a main disconnect power thing in there, you pull and it disconnects the power to the whole school. Well, this disconnect, because of age or something, has actually been welded in there and so it won't actually disconnect. Mm-hmm. So we have to go down there and we have to tear that whole disconnect apart and make repairs. And I got a bid from the electrical contractor down there of about $3,500 to $4,000 to do it to us. Since you guys approved the hiring of the electrician on the crew, we're going to go down and do it ourselves and save that for $3,500. The only stipulation is we have to do that when there's nobody at the school. So as long as it's in construction or there's leading power in the school, we can't shut down all the power to the school. So we're going to have to do it on the weekend. So there'll be some comp time earned by the electrician, myself, and probably Kerry. And it's going to be at least a full day's worth to tear that thing down and repair it and put it back together. Possibly as much as 2 days, so that's why we're doing that on the weekend. But there's nobody in the school,
right?
And there's no contractor down there.
Okay.
So by hiring him, you save yourself about $4,000, $3,500 to $4,000 now. And the comp time, you're paying the guy's wages anyway, and so it'll just be the comp time will be compensated through the week when we can let him off. And, or, there's no additional salary cost or anything like that.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. My mind's gone. Who did we hire as an electrician?
Second part?
Who did we hire as an electrician?
The gentleman's named Jeremiah Steinhauer. His father-in-law is a real Richardson here in town. Don Richardson, his father-in-law.
Oh, Norman Richardson? Yeah, he's from there.
Yeah, recently.
Yeah.
And he kept it
up.
Yeah,
that's
right. Yeah. I didn't know Norman's trying to make that a real respectable place down there. Yeah. There's a big sign on there that said, no hats allowed. I think yeah, we're only elected to tackle some projects for the society that has been well worth having.
Who's his words, huh?
Yeah. He is really qualified to as an
electrician.
Right now they're just living in an apartment in Castledale. They're building a home up here on 2nd North. 2nd West and 2nd or 3rd North. They're going to put a triple white mobile home in there, modular home in.
Good.
So he's looking for a lifetime residency here. And
one of the questions that needs to be asked, I guess, right now is what you want to do as far as opening that gym. You know, we can have a couple of options, and one's a formal dedication of it, and the other would be a formal open house. Mm-hmm. I get a little nervous about dedications myself, mm-hmm. but I'm wondering if you'd rather maybe, when we get to that point, schedule a formal open house with invitations to the community to come in and just walk through it and look at it, rather than have a formal program and dedication. That's up to you as a board, but.
I'm
all for
informal.
Yeah.
I think
folks think differently.
We're going to bring the
prophet
down and dedicate it.
Well, you know, we have the dedication department, which is their main gymnasium, and we had a dedicatory prayer, and I did get a little nervous about, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I think Roy gave that, didn't he? Or was it Roger?
I don't remember.
One of you did. Roger probably. One of
you. Okay. I'm just pretty nervous.
If you're going to do something like that, I would suggest that we wait for the parking lot in the back is completed.
Right. I was thinking more along the lines of a week or so before school starts in August.
Okay.
I don't think we want to open that gym to full use until school starts myself. But.
Well, I don't either. Yeah. The reason we're holding off, we've got the approval now on the bids on that, but we're going to hold off on doing anything on the parking lot down there until the contractor is completely out of there and out of our way so we can go in and do the job without any
interference. Yes, sounds good. That's exciting. I'm very excited to see it.
When we get closer, knowing
see it from the road.
When we enter the parking lot, when that will be complete, then I think maybe we can set a date and then get invitations out in the community and county commission and others to come down to an open house and maybe have some refreshments. Not on the gym floor, of course.
Roy will put on a set
in the lunchroom. But don't let us forget about that, folks.
Today they were down there putting new fiber optics into the high school down there for the continued education area.
Oh, good.
So, that's something the Emory Telecom was putting in, contracted out. They were there doing that today.
That building was really sharp.
I think you'll be surprised when you see the gym down there and the quality of the gym and how much it's added to the school. And especially the outside, really surprised me how nice the outside is. I haven't been on the inside for a week. We missed the color a little bit when we tried to pick the color of the block that went on there. We took a sample of several different colored blocks down there. We matched as close as we could. I'm kind of disappointed it didn't come a little bit closer, but
I don't think that's
the sun will fade out.
Yeah, that's right.
That's what we hope.
I think we just
have one executive session.
Okay.
Item with negotiations.
Okay.
I move that we go into closed meeting for some.
Thanks, Leroy.
Thanks, Leroy.
All in favor? Aye. Any opposed?
We had Gad in here since this negotiation.
Yep.